Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
We really heard the Lord on Sunday about him doing a new thing and how he's looking for us to respond to him and allow our hearts to be in the right condition, the right place to receive and to work with the new thing that he's doing. And whenever God does something, he's looking for somebody to respond to that. He's not going to do it without us, basically. God is going to do what he does through his people. He's always used people. He's always used somebody. He's always used a group of people. He's always used some person, because he's intended that the whole earth be ordered and reign under the rule of man, actually, under God. He intended when he made man to have dominion and to reign in life and to bring God's will into the earth. And when we fell, he sent his son Jesus as a man, because God always does his will through a man. Son of man, son of God. And now he's looking for us to take up our place and to execute his will. And so we know that on Sunday we're going to really get what God is saying to us, a words particularly to us, which is exciting because it kind of steers our course for the year. But it's just good to have a preparation time. I really have enjoyed having a preparation time together before we actually hear the word. And I think it's a setup by God, because I think he wants our hearts to be absolutely ready to receive what he is saying and to co-work with him to see his will done. And tonight, just two words really are the subject of the meeting tonight. From God, two words: trust me, the Lord says. Two words: trust me. They're massive in implication, but so simple. The Lord is saying, trust him. And we're going to just go through a few scriptures, and I want to speak tonight things that the Lord has laid on my heart to build your faith and your trust and confidence in God tonight, so that by the end of tonight, you will have far more confidence and faith than, well, currently now. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. And it means that if you increase and receive faith, increase your faith, receive faith, and begin to trust God, it means you will see the works of God. Amen. So trusting him means that God's going to work this year. Rather than you trying to get stuff done. Because Jesus always said to people who came to him, according to your faith, your trust level, your confidence in him, it will be done. So in 2012, according to your faith, it will be done. And so we can understand why he has always wanted to build our faith and encourage our faith, because it means that stuff happens on earth. Stuff will happen that he wants to do in your life to bless you this year. Things will happen, new things, miracles, signs and wonders you've never seen before, because there's a new dimension of trust and faith in God. And I don't have to tell you, because, you know, you live in this world. We're not of the world, but we live in this world. And we know that in today's world, there is so much pressure. There is so much negativity. There is so much coming in to attack our faith, to bring us down to a trustless, panic-filled, worry-filled life. And as soon as we go down with all the negativity And the words that are coming at us through the media, it might be through somebody at work for you, it might be somebody even you live with, it might be, I don't know, a family member, that negativity is being fed into your life. People are saying you're no good. People are saying it's going to be a bad year. The forecast is terrible. It's going to be a terrible year. Let's all get depressed. Because this is what the world is saying. The predictions of the economists and governments is it's not going to be good. And don't you think it's a fine time for us to listen to what God is saying and trust Him for this year and not put our faith in the negative reports? If we start to trust and put our confidence in what's negative, then we will not be able to do anything about the world. But we are here to change the world. We're here to affect change in the economic climate. We're here to turn around people's lives from depression to joy. We're here to bring something brilliant and good out of something disastrous and negative. And so if we aren't trusting Him, then we are missing really the key that unlocks all the resources of God. And I need to say that again because I want you to hear it. The key that unlocks all the resources of God into your life and into this earth is faith. Trusting Him, who He is, and what He has said. And so I am really excited about what God wants to accomplish tonight. Because if we trust Him tonight, the outcome of this year is going to be a God outcome. It'll carry a God dimension to it. If we're trusting ourselves or our circumstances or our providers, our boss, or how much money we've got in our account, or what people are saying about life, trusting what the doctors say, then we are missing out, really, God's will for us to trust Him and to do amazing things in our lives. It's like Satan is really having a heyday in our nation with negativity. Yes. And you know, the more words of negativity that are believed, the more things go down. But somebody who has faith can turn a nation. Just, you know, one person believing can make a huge difference. An immense difference to the people you work amongst, your families. If you're believing, you're going to pull down heaven's resources into your family. It's just this simple, trust me, is really got to grab our hearts in a fresh way. And I'm talking to people here tonight who are kind of, you know the word that you're to have faith in God. But I believe God wants to actually deposit something in us tonight so that we understand that what Satan's trying to do is rob our faith and to get us to believe a negative report. To believe a prediction of a bad outcome. It's going to be a tough year, guys. I mean, I could stand here and say that we could all get depressed and cry out to God in unbelief. And unbelief, you can't enter into what God's going to do, what promises to do. We can only enter by faith. So, I'm not taking any of the letters from Satan this year that's got his signature on it. Sent by Satan. Bad reports. Sent by Satan. It's not coming through my door. I'm going to say, return to sender. I am not taking a bad report. I might be tempted. There might be facts that agree with the bad report, but I'm not taking it on. I'm sending it right back where it came from. In fact, I'm sending it back with a word from God that shuts that up, that deals with it so it doesn't just keep coming back. I'm not playing this yo-yo game. I'm defeating the devil this year. So we are called as God's people to trust God and not just hope we survive the year. I hope we make it, guys. I mean, I know you're laughing, but in Monday's kind of tests, in Wednesday's challenges at work, or your job is up for grabs, or you don't have a job, at that point, trust. At that point, trust in the Lord. Where is our confidence? What is our expectation for 2012? It's a good question. Where is our confidence for the year? What are we putting our confidence in? And what do we trust? And what is the expectation, the outcome for 2012? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Starts off in verse 35. It's not really my message for tonight, but a brilliant beginning. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't be tempted to get rid of what actually is the most important thing in your life, is your confidence in the Lord. Yes. Amen. Don't throw it away by taking on the negative feelings that bad reports bring. Yes. Amen. Don't live by what you feel. We are not feelers, we're believers. We don't live out of that sense realm. We live by faith. The righteous live by faith. It is our primary kind of command from the Lord. The righteous shall live by faith. Everything that God does is through faith. Faith pleases him. Faith accomplishes his work. And so don't throw away your confidence. You need to keep going and persevere. After you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has said. So 2012, if we don't throw away our confidence, and if we continue to believe his promise and persevere in his will, then we will receive in 2012 what he said we would have. So what's he saying? My word will come to pass for those who trust me, have their confidence in me, and continue to do my will this year. Well, I can do those two bits, and he can do the promise, fulfill it. You know, it's easy. If I know what I've got to do, and I know what God's going to do, we're going to receive the promise if we continue to be confident in what he said and continue to persevere in his will. Do the things he calls us to do. So that's simple. We can do that, can't we? We can do that. All of us in this room can actually live like that and see the promise come to pass. Verse 38, actually, I just want to highlight that verse. But my righteous one, is that you? We belong to the Lord, don't we? We're his righteous people, but I like it because it gets down to the individual. My righteous one. I like it that that's what he calls us. We're his righteous ones. Righteousness by faith in Christ. My righteousness, my righteous one will live by faith. We will live by faith, by trusting and having our confidence in the Lord. And then he goes to say, but if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Why? Because faith pleases him. Shrinking back, doubting, unbelief, fear, does not please God. Okay, so I didn't say that, he did. If we shrink back and sort of start to shrink back into, oh no, what are we going to do this year? It's going to be a tough year. You can make it as tough as you like, but God wants to make it a year of promise and fulfillment. It's our choice, really. We don't have to shrink back. And it goes on to say, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are not like that. I love that. It's a faith statement already. I believe Kingdom Faith Southwest are not of those who shrink back. In fact, I declare that word over you. You are not someone who shrinks back. Good confession. But of those who believe, continue to act on what God has said will happen, and are saved. Salvation is the total provision of God through the work of Jesus Christ. Everything has been accomplished for us, but through believing, continuing to act on what he said, we will see the fulfillment of what he has spoken. Brilliant. And so we are called to live by faith. We're called to believe and not take a step back and lose confidence. Satan's goal is to captivate our minds, take our thought life captive. Now, I wonder if you did the sums in 1 week and thought about how many words, negative words, come into your mind, whether it's through news. Now, I'm not against watching the news. I think it keeps us on track for believing and praying for our nation. I believe that we're to be well informed about what's going on so that we can do something about it. Nehemiah got a report. There was no TV in that day, but he got a report that the walls were down. So what did he say? I'm going to go and build. So we need news. But what we do with it is important. But there are many news situations that come, news reports, whether it's to you personally. You know, there might be news this year you naturally will find difficult to handle. But what is God saying? Don't accept what Satan says or the facts of a situation. What you need to do is to trust the Lord and his word. So that if you trust him, you will see a miracle. You're going to see a miracle through simply trusting the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so, our minds and hearts must not be taken captive by Satan. And we are called to take care of our hearts and our minds. Your mind has the ability to receive from many different arenas, really. You can receive a lot of information in your mind in one day. But if the word of God, the promise of God, isn't in your mind, then you're not going to live by faith. Your mind needs to be renewed by the word, so that your mind is like built up with such a strength of what thoughts you've got about what's going to happen, a good thing, a positive thing, so that whenever a negative thing comes in, you just go, don't be ridiculous, of course not, rather than, oh no, what will we do? Because you've already got, of course it won't happen, because I know what God has said. I know what God said. I know what his promise is. So that your thoughts are not taken captive by something negative. And your heart as well. Jesus said that the word, the seed sown into our hearts, it needs to be in our minds as well, but in our hearts, which is where we believe from. We believe with our heart. It's where the word creates faith in our hearts. And Jesus said that the worries of this life, of which there is potential for increased worry this year, there is a potential for us to be more worried this year than last. Would you agree? There seems to be an increase of concerns and cares in the world. And Jesus said that the cares and worries of this life render the word, the promise in you, unfruitful. They make it unfruitful. And so it's like God wants to do what he has said. You might even start to have faith for what he wants. But if worry comes in, then it will make the word unfruitful. If you're concerned about what's going to happen, the word, the promise will not produce fruit. So we've got to take a truckload of worry out. I've loved how we've moved out this building. And, you know, one of the things that have happened is there's been a lot of dismantling and a lot of taking out of the stuff that we don't want in Crescent House. And, I mean, if you were to ask Brian and Joy, David, Ian, and a few others here, plus all those who've been part of work parties, but they've been key kind of people in working here, and Lawrence and Mark and Andy as well, but there's been some, you know, we've all done our part, but there's been people who've been taking truckload stuff out. Yeah. And it's like, we've got to empty our lives of worry. Yes. Take it out, put it in the skip, and say, it doesn't belong in my house. Yes. Live with that carefree heart and mind, because you are not accepting any words that attack or contradict the promise of God. That's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to do it. And it's our responsibility personally not to get prayed for, but to pray it out of your heart and give it to the Lord. Cast it onto the Lord because he cares for you. Don't worry about anything. God wants to care for everything that concerns you. He loves you and he wants to care for you. But if you worry, it means that you cannot produce fruit this year. You will be, you won't produce fruit all year. Okay? It's not good, is it? It's like, I know I'm speaking kind of at the far end of that, but Jesus said it renders the word unfruitful. So it stops the growth and the fulfillment of the promise. He also said the deceitfulness of riches. And whether the world has got loads of money or it hasn't got enough, the world is still running after money. Yes. Do you realize what we're still after? The God of money. Yes. God of mammon, materialism. And we've got to be finding a place of contentment in the Lord rather than running after riches. Oh, I better get another job. You know what I've got? I want more. I want a better car. We want to improve this. We want to seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added. It's like we cannot live consumed with a desire for things. So many believers are overworking by doing extra jobs. And they're not trusting God. It's right to work, but then it's right as well to serve the Lord, isn't it? Put the Lord, serve the Lord first. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. I want things added because I want to live God's way. I know God's way works. It's always worked for me and it always will. It'll always work for you. Thank you, Jesus. And so this don't be captivated with concerns. It's if, as long as you're doing what is right, it's right. You know, I want to emphasize, of course, it's right to be a working person. I believe that we those who don't work don't eat. That and that if you need a job, seek first the kingdom, trust God, and you'll find one. It'll be added. You know, put your priorities in place and test your heart. Am I trusting God? And it will be added. But I believe totally in having a balanced life, not driven because we want stuff. And it's got to be a balance, life in balance, in the Holy Spirit's balance for us as individuals. So that by the end of the year, you're not burnt out, worn out, and not seeing much fruit. Not a good goal, is it? So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In other words, fill your mind with God's word, not what you're thinking. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path into the right thing. Trust, how does it begin? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not part of it, but all. And to get to a point where you say, Jesus, I am fully dependent on you this year, is the point of exchange, where you will see God's provision kicked in, and you'll come off self-effort. Faith releases God's provision and does the work of God. Self-effort is what you can do and is going to produce the work of man. So trust me with all your heart this year. And I believe we need to be a different people, salt and light in this generation, walking around saying, I'm totally at peace, guys. I'm trusting God. Even though the mountains fall in the sea, everything is shaking, but I won't be moved. My hope and trust is fully in the Lord. Fully. I am fully trusting God, which leaves no room for, oh dear, what if? I trust in him. Simple message, but the most powerful message. You see, it's who's in control in your life. Because if Jesus really is Lord, and you give the reins to him through faith, through trust, he will show himself to be strong on those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Full on trusting commitment in Jesus. I had such an interesting word from the Lord this week, and just for me personally, and we've been seeking the Lord. There's been many things that have been going on for about a month actually, but this week the Lord spoke to me through Isaiah 44, the Amplified version, and he was talking about how he foils the words, the false prophets, and the words of those who are predicting a bad outcome. How he brings what the world's saying to nothing. The plans of the world will come to nothing. Let me tell you, you're on to a fruitless end if you're running with the plans of this world. That he is ultimately in control. And that every word that he has spoken, and he said to me that through his messengers and through his prophets, which is what we are, and we'll bring the word of the Lord. And I trust we'll bring the word of the Lord to you every week. I believe it. We're anointed to hear God for you. You know that, don't you? That's why you need a shepherd. Under the shepherd. And he said, you know, I'm going to foil the plans of false prophets. The bad predictions and the bad outcomes that the world says it's going to be. But I'm going to fulfill the words of my messengers. I'm going to perform the words of my prophets. It's what God is saying that is going to come to pass, guys, this year. because he is in control. And his words are far more powerful than what the earth is saying. God reigns through his words. He's the king. And he reigns through commands, through speaking. So we need one or two faith preachers. And that would include you. I don't mean it necessarily with a microphone, but it's a time to preach faith. It's a time to live by faith, trust God, and speak faith. It's a time to say when everybody else is saying, like in the history of Israel in 2 Kings chapter 7, I think it was Elisha. I get the two mixed up, do you? Elisha and Elijah, sometimes I think it was. I think it was Elisha, the prophet. They're living in a time in Israel where there is famine and where even somebody, a Jewess, is eating her own children. So there's cannibalism going on. The king is crying out, saying, we need to, this is a disastrous situation. So in other words, it's a bad report everywhere and it's bad news everywhere. It's a terrible situation. And Elijah says, by this time tomorrow, food is going to be cheap and there's going to be loads to eat. Now, in that environment, you would say, you're off your head. This is impossible for it to happen. It is impossible to turn around this nation with a word from God. Or is it? It is possible to turn around the economy with one word from God. And so, I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about, a nation in dire straits. So by this, he just calmly speaks. He doesn't get up, puff and pant, look really spiritual and shake. He just says, by this time tomorrow. He preaches. He speaks the word. He's a faith preacher. He's saying something that's the opposite to what's going on. And if we're trusting God really, we will say things that are the opposite to what's going on. Just trying to build your faith. And you know what happened? These lepers went out, decided, well, we're going to die anyway from starvation. We may as well go and see what's going on out there, where all the enemy is. And as they arrive, they find out the Lord's disbanded the whole army and they've left everything for them to eat. They've suddenly got rich overnight. Talk about rich and plenty, cheap and plenty. Went back and said, we better not keep this good news to ourselves because faith is good news. If you're going to be a faith preacher, you've got good news wherever you go. You're a bringer of good news this year. Everybody's going to look at you and say, oh, here we go. Here's a good report. Should we be a church of faith preachers? I like that, do you? Every single one of us, faith preachers. And so the king sent out spies because he thought it was a trap because he couldn't quite believe good news. He was so entrenched in the bad, he found it difficult to believe good news. And I tell you what, that's why we've got to persevere with the lost. They're used to bad news. You just keep going because the news we've got is so good about Jesus, you don't give up. And so they go out and what do they find? It's true. God has turned the nation in a day. See, sometimes I think we think God is very limited. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Is it? Thank you, Jesus. Simple faith. Trust in the Lord, like a child. I remember, and we were talking about this earlier, how when we were kids, did you ever have a conversation saying, well, my dad can do anything? It's a little bit of pride rising up there and probably not the right spirit, but, well, my dad can do better than you. No, my dad's better than yours. And, you know, you've got this little child who looks to the father and says, they're so big and they can do so much that they say, he can do anything. And that's a childlike faith. He's so big and he loves me so much. I'm the apple of his eye. He's so generous towards me. He can do anything. I mean, that's kind of that, you know, this childlike faith. We mustn't get so kind of advanced that we forget to say, our Father is big. He's great. He loves me. And, you know, there's a limitation with earthly fathers, but there's a limitless power, love, and grace from our Heavenly Father. Limitless. Have you had that word over your life? Limitless. Providing it's according to the will of God. But when you discover the God's will, you find out the will of the Lord. It is limitless. Heaven on earth. I find that quite limitless. Just think about that. Heaven on earth. It's quite a limitless possibility. That's what my Father in heaven wants. And I trust him for it. Thank you, Jesus. How are we doing? Letting believers, believing believers. Believing, current. Trusting, current. Right here, right now, tonight. Simple faith. Turn with me to Jeremiah. We'll just look at this and then we'll get to pray in a moment. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Kingdom Faith Southwest. Is this the word of the Lord? Is it living? Yes. Is it powerful? Yes. Is it true? Yes. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? Stop. We're going to keep it very simple tonight. We're not going to go into all the Babylonians and siege and... We're just going to keep with the simplicity of trusting God. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? So God is asking a person, you could say he's asking you a question tonight. He's asking me a question. And he's saying, is there anything that's too hard? Now, I hear, well, if there's one thing that gets me a little bit stirred up, it's if I hear somebody say, oh, this area is really hard for the gospel. It's really difficult. My family, you don't know how bad they are. Taunton, you've got no idea how difficult it is to see people saved. What's that? What is it? Is that believing God? It's got no marks of believing God on it, has it? Because God is saying to us, is there anything too hard for me? And for me, even that question raises faith. In my heart. I don't know. I speak it and I think about it and I'm thinking, well, of course not. Because the problem is, when we're looking at life, we're looking at the problem and assessing the problem rather than assessing the power of God. Because when we're answering this question, we're saying, we're answering with our eyes on Him, not on the problem. And if your eyes are on the problem, you're not going to see God's power come into that situation. But as soon as you start to say, hang on, there's nothing too difficult. I mean, of course, we know the stock answer, but I believe it. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing beyond his reach. There's nothing that can supersede his power. There's no thought that is greater than his. There's nobody who's better at anything or able to do anything in comparison to the Lord. So is there anything too hard for the Lord this year? Jeremiah, he actually had prayed in a few previous verses and he'd declared, Lord God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. What a confession. Do you think you might please God if you said that over your family? Over your neighbors? I can imagine just a total shift in the supernatural. I can see a shift taking place. If you walk around your workplace saying, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. There's nobody too hard for you. And so I pray, let your kingdom come. Come and invade this person's life. I need a job. Nothing is too hard, including a job. I need to see and understand something. Nothing is too hard. You know, it's even possible that the Lord could give you understanding. You might have been trying to work something out for years, but the Lord can give you understanding. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great mighty things you do not know. You're going to get understanding if you ask. It's brilliant, isn't it? Your job, your family, Taunton. I'm declaring tonight, this year, nothing is too hard and nobody is too hard for the Lord. This land is not too hard. The young people are not too hard. It's not too hard to disciple them. It's not too hard to raise up the next generation. It's not too hard to believe for many to come into the kingdom this year. Simple faith. Is anything too hard? Well, don't be complicated. Don't live out of the kind of questions in your mind. Answer just the one important question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? As soon as you face an issue, ask the question. Is this too hard for the Lord? Now I just need to get back to trusting God. Is it hard? It's hard for man. In fact, it might be impossible for man. But with you, Lord, nothing is too difficult. Unless our faith is real, we will not see new things this year. We won't see the work of God. Paul says that the one who does miracles amongst us and supplies the Spirit to us, does he do it by the hearing of the law? In other words, endless things we've got to do, or by the hearing of faith? And we know God supplies the Spirit and works miracles through the hearing of faith. We want miracles, don't we? We want to show this generation, actually, God is really alive and this is him. We want to show this nation, actually, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. I think there's nothing worse than a judgmental, passive church that sits saying, well, the nation deserves it. Yes, we all deserve. We all deserve condemnation. But because of his great love and mercy towards us, he has poured out his grace upon us. He wants to bless our nation. And he knows how to. It may not be an overnight economic miracle. He might bless us just with his wisdom. But he doesn't want us to starve. He doesn't want riots in our streets. He doesn't want any more murders in our city. I mean, I'm like, that's enough. I've never heard over Christmas so much. But nothing is too hard for the Lord. We live in a real time where real faith must be lived. It's not just about us coming together to hear because we should be in a meeting. Let's live by faith. Every day, let's say, well, nothing's too difficult for you, Lord. I might have seen this on the news, but I'm believing for a turnaround. I'm believing that you're going to bring about your promise and your goodness in this situation. Single-minded faith, not a double-minded people. Listening to the news one day and believing God when we're together. Let's live it out. The test of our faith is in the bad times. It's when actually things don't go too well, you'll find out really where you're at. And at that point, you need to say, Lord, nothing's too hard for you. I declare it. And we are here to show this generation that God is good and that he is alive and that our faith is at work to demonstrate the goodness of God here in this nation. And so in our hearts, we really need to get rid of the worries and cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and to live by simply trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. Don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let it. Trust. Trust in the Lord. God is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. God is able to do far more than you ask or imagine. Come on. God is able. God is able to do far more than you could ask or imagine. Don't diminish your prayer life by your problems. Increase it with the awesomeness and the greatness and the promises of God. Lift up your eyes, your faith, your heart, and say, hey, this is our time. It's time for a move of God. It's a time, therefore, for faith. Because without faith, there is no move of God. Faith is the issue. And so tonight, I'd like you to take that question in prayer and go through anything, any area in your life where there is a challenge, where there is a need, where there's concern, and spread out, kind of do like in the pond. You know, when you throw a pebble into the pond, it spreads out. Start with your own heart. Move into your closest relationships, your family. Go beyond into the church, your brothers and sisters, your church family. Go out into your neighbors, unsaved family, you know, whatever is on your heart. And then go out into Taunton. And or where you're from, whether it's Hemyock, Wellington, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then go into the nation. God wants you believing for your nation. So let's take that simple faith question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let's respond to no, Lord. And I'm going to ask because you're able to do far more than I could ask or imagine. So I'm going to say that it's nothing's too hard, but I'm also going to say, Lord, let the provision of heaven come. Come, Lord, and transform this situation. Come. I'm believing and trusting in you. My confidence is in you, that you will transform it through the power of the name of Jesus. Amen.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.